try to bring this to a few final points. So we had discussed a little bit the question of the interplay between the mitzvah of chinuch and the prohibition to allow a katan to partake of iser. Today I just showed you that run about Yom Kippur. I got a chance to see that run, and where he considers the question of how do we accept the fact that we are allowed to feed katanim on Yom Kippur if we assume that we're not allowed to feed children Isurim, and how exactly do we deal with that? You saw that run. So, Lamaisa, if you recall, we talked also about the Tos Hashanim over there, also in Yuma, who raised the issue of how could it be that you are obligated to give mitzvos to your children, but you're not obligated to separate them from Averus, and maybe in Achanami that was the position. But Tosus, Masech HaShavas, which you also saw already, Tosus says that no, that once the Higia L'chinuch, so then you are obligated to separate them from Averus also, which then creates a more consistent package, that if we say that Chinuch is not just limited to Asays, but it's the whole story, so then they both kick in when the child is matured enough to be relevant to that mitzvah and that Aveira. Now, it could be there's also more than that, that to actively feed Katanim Yisurim is even more of an Isser, which may apply even at a younger age, but at least in terms of this Chiyuv to be Mafrish someone, that's could parallel to the mitzvah of chinuch as an active obligation. Now, there is a machlokas among the Rishonim whether this is, you saw this also, I had this a few days ago, whether this obligation to be mafresh, the cutting from an iser, is that only on the father, or is that on others too? And if you want to say that it's on others too, then we could say, and this is discussed, by the way, there's a couple of essays about the subject in the Chidushim of Reuven Grzovsky. Familiar with the name of Reuven Grzovsky? He was the son-in-law of Reb Baruch Ber. Some of the familiar with the Sefer of Birka Shmuel. Right, the Birka Shmuel was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker. It was a very devoted Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker. Quotes from Soloveitchik himself in one place as a young boy. But in general, he was very focused on the Torah of Reb Chaim. So his Sefer Birka Shmuel is on the more traditionally learned Yeshivish Masechtas. And his son-in-law was Reuven Grzovsky, who was a Rashiva in Muncie in the end of his life. So he has Sefer Chedusha of Reuven. It's a very similar style to Birka Shmuel. But what takes it one step further is that included in his list of Masechtas is sukkah. So he has sukkah in his sefer, although it's not so much. Before you get to Daf Lamed, the only sukkahs he has is a couple of essays about chinuch. But the essays about chinuch are very worth reading. And he discusses this point, that it seems like there is a parallel concept here of hafrasha from iser, and the hafrasha from iser might be on everyone. And even if it's on everyone, he thinks it's still different, the obligation of the father vis-a-vis this concept and that of everyone else. That maybe the father has an obligation of chanuch l'nar al pidarko, which covers maybe positives and negatives. But there's a broader concept, which works better if one believes that the katan himself is involved in mitzvos, that is going to therefore mean that somebody else should separate him from doing averos if he's doing something which is bad for him. So the same way we have a general concept of being mafresh other people from iser, and it's a whole discussion how far you have to go. I mean, does that mean you have to beat up somebody who's involved in averos? So now so we don't do that. Right, but it's a whole discussion in the Ksos and the Sivis a few years ago when we were learning Saches Ksubis, we spoke about this. Again, as a matter of practice, do not try this at home. This is not something that we do. But it's a discussion about what exactly is the nature of the concept. Is it a Bezdin-related concept? Is it something else? So to hear, one could say it's essentially a similar idea, that if the katan there is a value to him staying away from Averos, so then it would follow that everyone else, to whatever extent they can influence him within proper channels, should presumably take on that role as well, and that should certainly include the mother. Okay, so far so good. Then he notes that the obligation of the father in a broader chinuch, which he invokes the context chanuch lanar al pidarko, is going to differ in a number of ways. First of all, the language of, let's say, aviv lokeach lo talis, when the son is old enough, so the father purchases him a garment with tzitzis. So he notes that there are two aspects there that relate to the father's chiyuv that would differ from everyone else. One is that the father is obligated to spend money on him. We're not asking anyone else to purchase things for the katan. That's unique to the obligation of the father's chinuch. And also that it could involve things that aren't strictly speaking a chiyuv. And when you talk about being mafresh miser or things like that, so then we're talking about things that are more absolute. But to say aviv lokeach lo talis, as he discusses, so here we find that included in chinuch. But no one is mechuyev to buy a talis. Right? The assumption that one is only obligated in tzitzis if one has dalek kanfos.
The
whole language of aviv lokeach, well, if the language was aviv puts tzitzis on his garment, so then you could say, okay, they were already wearing a garment and it's putting tzitzis on it. But the language aviv lokeach lo talis, it sounds like he's purchasing the garment that is being used in order to get him chayev in tzitzis. So it sounds like there is a desire to bring him into tzitzis, even if he wouldn't be doing anything wrong by not wearing tzitzis. So that seems to suggest that the chinuch obligation extends even beyond that, which is a pure obligation. And in that spirit, that could also explain, he discusses this as well, that the whole sugya in Nazir, where the Gemara limits it specifically to the father, or at least according to one opinion, if that's the dominant opinion, the Gemara limits it to the father and to a son rather than a daughter. So at least as far as the father part is concerned, if you saw the comments and the Rush and others on the side of the page of the Gemara there, and your idea of why is he getting him involved in Naziris? Naziris is not a chiyuv. We're not even sure if Naziris is a good idea for everyone. So what's the notion of chinuch for Naziris? So the Rush there quotes, because Naziris siag lapricious. Naziris is something which helps general sense of being parish from things that are negative, things that are distractions. So okay, but that's not a chiyuv. So it sounds like that kind of chinuch is not about training one in mitzvah specifically. It's about a certain educational message, which that is not going to be included in an obligation on everyone else. But again, we'll have to figure out, like we laid out yesterday, how we have a couple of different sources here which may have different ideals associated with it. So far, so good? Okay. So one major question that also emerges from the whole issue of whether we say the katan is chayiv in the mitzvah himself or not is, what is the status of a mitzvah that he does? So first of all, does it create like a concept of huktzel mitzvaso? So if a katan uses a lulav and esrog, so does that become huktzel mitzvaso? Does that have a mitzvah status? Is it usher to use for anything else? Hi? David?
Well, we mentioned before that having the royal avila.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all it is, that you pick it up and you have the potential to shake it but not shake it, so then
yeah, because definitely your yotzei with picking it up, and especially let's say he did it for the mitzvah, he picked up to be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. So is that object called huktzel mitzvaso?
I think in the fourth paragraph it discusses whether it actually
Abby wants me to ester, use an ester to me on day 7 Yom Tov to make it like a jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to differentiate between a couple.
Exactly, right? So that's a part of the discussion. So how far do we go with that? Do we say that the Katan's mitzvah actually takes on the whole mitzvah status? Yes, sir.
Rashi on that says that the Katan is not anything. He seems to say that it's not a mitzvah at all.
Right, which is consistent with Rashi L'shitaso, right? Because what is Rashi's opinion of the general chi of the chinuch? That is on the father rather than the son. And so that works, right? That essentially Rashi is telling you that the obligation is not on him. The idea that a katan has a chiyuv mitzvah d'rabbanan doesn't mean that the katan is mechuyev. It means that the father is mechuyev. That's how Rashi says in Brachos. So it makes sense that the status is not going to necessarily go along with it. So this has a few other ramifications. Right, what other ramifications might this have? Right, like this would also address the question of what happens if you need to interplay with other concepts. Right, what if a mitzvah requires suspending an aveira of some kind? So does the katan's mitzvah count as a mitzvah? If you have the situation where, let's say, there's a mitzvah which otherwise would be an aveira if it were not a mitzvah. So does the katan's act serve as a mitzvah? So let's say, for example, as hard as this is to imagine, but let's say the context of Yibum. Right? So a katan being miyabim. So there's a whole discussion we have to have. What exactly is the nature of the idea that Yibum is allowed to take place and is commanded to take place, even though normally it's an Isser Erba? So is it basically an Aseh Do Chalosa, say? Is it the idea that the mitzvah of Yibum outweighs the Isser? And if so, does the Katan have the mitzvah?
Or are you just forcing him to do the mitzvah?
That's a separate question, but the question is, does the concept even exist conceptually? Right, is there a possibility of a mitzvah here? If the mitzvah requires the power of the mitzvah to outweigh the iser, so does the katan even have the mitzvah? So that's a whole discussion. And the Sefer Beis Matisyo is a contemporary Sefer of Shalos and Shuvas. He has a very long discussion about this, trying to consider, in order to properly address this question, you have to get into deep discussions about the nature of Yibum. You have to figure out exactly what the mechanics are to know how exactly it's going to affect the interplay here, and that is going to affect everything else. So in general, there is a discussion, there's a whole literature, and just you really could spend all year talking about chinuch zugis. There are many svarim in the library that are entirely about chinuch. This isn't my fault, it's just a big, big topic. So clearly, if you could write 300-page svarim about it, you could spend months talking about the sugyas. But one of the central questions is the maisa of a katan considered to be a maisa mitzvah or a maisa aveira under the circumstances? Do we say that since he's not mechuyev technically on a level minat Torah, then the action is garnished? Or do we say no, it's possible to view the action of a katan as a mitzvah or as an aveira, depending on the circumstances? It's just that he's not technically liable. He's not liable to do it. He's not liable not to do it. He's not subject to a tzivoy, which we noted last week might be the lashon of the Ramban in Kiddushin, but it doesn't mean that the action is meaningless halachically. I think Sammy was up first. David?
I would just say that because we're dealing for the Kabbalah days, that we may be dealing with, we're questioning whether or not perhaps this is a Din Darabon or Daraisa, but I think we're on the premise that it's Darabon.
Yeah, what's the Chinuch Darabon?
Yeah. Right, wouldn't we be okay with foregoing the risk of it being an Aveira and just saying it's a Kabbalah? It might not be the worst thing for him regardless.
Right, might be the worst thing for him to what?
To go ahead and teach his kid how to do the mitzvah and have him do it or not do it. We're assuming.
You mean teaching the material or having him actually do it?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, having the child actually do it.
So, well, then if there's an Aveira involved, then maybe that's a problem. And maybe we don't have the right to suspend the Aveira for an action that's not a mitzvah.
Right, but I'm saying, wouldn't we have any other topic throughout, you know, halachic discourse where we could say that, you know, maybe we'd be at the very least very tempted to forego that risk of it being an Aveira? Like, if it's an Aveira, would we still be willing to suspend it in any other type of case?
If it's an Aveira, would we also suspend it for anything other than a mitzvah, you mean?
Yeah.
I have to figure out, because it's a little bit of a vague category.
Right, sure.
But just to, I'll come right back to that point in a second, but just to kind of segue into it. So there is a major discussion that it's a very labored topic. And a lot of bar mitzvah boys use this as their bar mitzvah shtickle, their bar mitzvah pilpul. Because it's relevant to 1/7 of the population. So for those for whom it's relevant, they like to use it for their bar mitzvah topics. The question of somebody who becomes an adult during Sfiras HaOmer. Right? So about 1/7 of the population has a birthday during Sfiras HaOmer. So does that allow for one to continue counting Sfira with a bracha? We know that, without getting into all the ins and outs of this discussion, which would take a very long time, but just to say it in the briefest way possible, so we know that lahalacha, possibly because of a combination of various opinions of Rishonim, we do not allow someone to keep counting with a bracha if they miss a day. So because of that premise, lahalacha, which we're not doing justice to at all explaining the conceptual underpinnings, but that's the bottom line. So what happens if somebody didn't count Sfira, didn't do the mitzvah of Sfira for the first part of Sfira because he wasn't mechuyev? Let's say somebody becomes a bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. Let's say he becomes a bar mitzvah on day 12. So he only became chayiv in Sfiras HaOmer on that day. So how does that affect his ability to keep on counting? Or the question could also be asked, and we'll have to see if it's the same or not, what if somebody becomes Jewish during that time? Let's say somebody converts to Judaism in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. How does that affect things?
I'm confused why we're making a difference. I thought the whole point is that it's that issue of one continuous, it's given time, it's a sphere.
Okay. Which may or may not be the issue. That's how some understand it, but if it is, then yes.
So you're
taking a side on this issue. You're saying that as far as you understand it, it should be that it's a problem. It should be that becoming a bar mitzvah on day 12 is no different than somebody who forgot the first 11 days of Sfira. That's your position. So this is a major machlokas, as you can imagine. And broadly speaking, there are three camps. And each one of these camps can be broken down into many other sub-camps. But there are, guess what you'll call the machmirim, even though it's also a good question whether that's the right kind of language here. But the machmirim will say, sorry, next year. And as excited as you are to become an adult and start doing mitzvahs this one, you're going to have to wait till next year because didn't fulfill the mitzvah the first couple of days, you're no better than somebody who forgot. On the other hand, you have, we'll call the mekilim, who say, no, it's okay for this bar mitzvah boy to start counting on day 13, because tmimus, the requirement to Sfiras HaOmer that it be complete, that refers to the whole chiyuv. So for a regular adult who is chayiv in 49 days, that's what tmimus means. But if you only started being chayiv on day 13, so then tmimus means 13 to 49. Hi.
Is it possible that the chiyuv is just to complete all the days, and if you have been doing so therefore you have been doing so?
If you have been doing so even as a katan?
Yeah.
Let's discuss that now, right? So I'm saying these are the two extremes. One extreme is to say, sorry, there's nothing you can do about it, wait till next year. Right? That's an opinion some poskim have. And on the other extreme, you have poskim who say that it's totally cool, you can just start counting on day 13 because that was the first day you were chayiv, and that's called tmimus for this person, 13 to 49. And in the middle, you have a number of achronim who say, similar to what David was bringing up now, that, well, it all depends what was happening when he was a katan. was he counting Sphira or not? If he was counting Sphira, he can keep going. If he was not, then he can't. This is a position a number of Acharonim take. And there are a lot of different ways to address it, because on the surface, there's a big question. You'll say, well, who cares if he was counting as a Kohen? He wasn't Mechuyev, so it wasn't a mitzvah. So why is that any better than anyone who forgot? And it was like, what are you talking about? It's totally better. So yes?
Well, just because you're not Mechuyev doesn't mean you can't do a mitzvah.
Well, that's the question. That's exactly what we're wrestling with here, right? So does there exist? One approach to this question is, does there exist a possibility of a mitzvah without the chiyuv? Gilad?
There is an opinion that says that women are puzzled for Mrs. Asher, she's not a government, but actually Asher from Mrs. Asher, she's not a government.
So that means the discussion of the Gemara about tefillin?
No, I think all of Mrs. Asher, she's not a government.
Well, the Gemara has a discussion about tefillin. It's a little bit of an involved discussion. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbi Natam, that women can even make brachos on such mitzvahs.
I think the same realm, though. We usually categorize katan and nashim and katan together.
It's difficult to say that, actually. The truth is,
it's definitely that connection.
Yeah, it's. But the Torah plays out very differently. In general, we could have a whole separate discussion of how the language putter in Shas can mean four or five different things. Right, sometimes pater avalaser, sometimes pater, but you should be doing it, sometimes pater, but you could be doing it, sometimes pater, you're just off the hook, but it's still not so great. There's a lot of different usages, and that's a hard comparison to draw in this case. But the basic question here is, if we take this middle view, and we say, well, it all depends, if the Kohen was counting, he can keep on going, but it's not. So the question immediately becomes, well, who cares if he was counting? He's not mechuyev. So why is that meaningful? It's not a mitzvah. So this is a point that Menachas Chinuch makes, Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav makes, many Achronim talk about this. Rav Soloveitchik had an approach to this, which would explain everything in a very beautiful way, a different way, in a very beautiful way, that maybe we'll talk about Pesach time, because it will take us very far afield, but there's a whole other angle to this question. But one window into this issue is that it's about this, right? I tried to say this in the briefest way possible without getting pulled into any of the potential very interesting tangents. But I tried to say the whole Sfiras Omer thing just now in the briefest way possible. So theoretically, this is a window into this question. Is it possible to say that a 12-year-old boy who's not chayiv in mitzvos but was counting Sfira, that Sfira is enough of a mitzvah so that he can now pick up from day 13 and continue counting with a bracha? If not, it comes out with a strange paradox, because while he was a kohen, he'll be counting with a bracha, because ketanim make brachas on their mitzvos. And then, as soon as he becomes a bar mitzvah, he can no longer count with a bracha. So it's a strange reality if one is machmir on this, but indeed some are, but would have that very paradoxical kind of shift. Okay, now that I'm a bar mitzvah, I can no longer make a bracha. Put in a chanami, but again, there's a big middle camp here that says if he was counting, he can keep on counting with a bracha. Right. So, among the explanations for that, there are a few explanations of how that could work. But one possible explanation is to say that the action of a katan is considered to be a mitzvah, even if he's not technically obligated. So therefore, the mitzvah is a complete one, even though he was not mechuyev the whole time. Sorry?
How do we know?
There are rayos for that. I can give you some rayos to look at.
That was the question we were asking.
Right, so the question is conceptually, what makes sense, and also how do you prove it one way or another? So there are various. Reb Chaim has in the stencils a number of rayos, which are outside our time scope to discuss. He has three rayos. Reb Chaim has in the stencils three rayos that the maisa aveira of a katan is considered to be a maisa aveira.
And therefore,
it's significant at least. He's not liable for it, but it has significance. So, just to try to squeeze in one more point, and again, if we overflow a little bit tomorrow, that may be, but I'm still giving Numar Makomos to move on to something else. But just to especially bring this into the connection of Sukkah. So, there is a long discussion about this following point in the Sefer Beis Matas Yahu that we mentioned before. You could question how important it is, but just it'll especially bring us back into a sukkah context. So there is a discussion in the Tshuvas Oneg Yontif. Tshuvas Oneg Yontif raises the following question. It says that the Gemara says that if it's raining in outside and you sit in the sukkah, you're called hediotic, right? Nikra hedjo. So the Oneg Yontif discusses, we should say it's worse than that. We should say it's aser. Why is it aser? Because there is an iser to be nene from the sukkah. So if you have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, there's a chiyuv. Okay, you're not being nene, you're doing the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah doesn't apply, so then you're just sitting outside in this hut, and even though it's going to be pretty miserable in the rain, but it's better than outside the sukkah outside, you're being protected somewhat from the rain. So aren't you being nene in a sukkah? Shelo b'makom mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to sit there when it's raining. So in that context, he discusses, how is it that women are allowed to sit in the sukkah? That if women are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah, so shouldn't we say also that they're being nene from the sukkah, shelo b'makom mitzvah? So isn't that a problem? Isn't it an issue to get hana from the sukkah? So the Beis Matas Yo discusses, could say the same issue for ketanim. That why are we allowed to bring children into the sukkah? Why don't we say also that that's a hana, even if you want to say it's on the parent, but the parent is bringing his child into the sukkah, and there is no mitzvah, at least on a level min haTorah, for the katan. So he develops a whole thesis here, where he says that you see that the mice of the katan is considered to be a mice of mitzvah. And as long as it has the status of a ma'isa mitzvah, so then that is considered to be mako mitzvah, and it's not a problem of being nene min hasukkah. Then he goes on to say that the truth is that this should also answer up the issue for women as well, because like we were just discussing, the view that women can volunteer to do a mitzvah, to say shehazman brahma, and according to Ashkenazi tradition, even make a bracha on it. So certainly there you have a ma'isa mitzvah also. So a kiyum ha-mitzvah. So it shouldn't be a question how women are allowed to sit in the sukkah. Question about that?
Yeah, I don't see the proof. Because it could be the father's ma'isa mitzvah. And for the father to be the kind of mitzvah, he needs the chassid to be there.
I mean, his mitzvah of chinuch.
Yeah.
Maybe. So this is just an interesting discussion, back and forth. And it also brings us into another angle of the dinim of sukkah. But the truth is, there is an easier approach here, which other achronim point out, that presumably this would not be the issur of being nenem in a sukkah in the first place. The issur of being nenem in a sukkah is if you start taking off pieces of sach and use it as a baseball bat. That if you take it and divert it from its mitzvah purpose and use it for something else, that's really what we're talking about being nenem min ha, being nenem min ha mitzvah. But sitting in the sukkah, whether or not your sitting is called a mitzvah, but leaving the sukkah intact as it continues to be there for its mitzvah purpose, is probably not what we're talking about when we talk about being nenem in a sukkah. So it's a good question whether the sukkah, whether this issue of sukkah hana gets off the ground. No pun intended. I mean, it's the opposite of a pun. That also connects a little bit, just to say that point. It also connects to issues of Hanukkah in two ways. One is that, if that's just parenthetically, if that's the nature of the Isra of Hana, so it's an interesting question, should we say the same when it comes to being nene from a Hanukkah candle? So is it okay to be nene as long as you're leaving it there as part of the mitzvah of Hanukkah? Or maybe we should say that's more chomer, because in order for Ner Hanukkah to work as a symbol, it has to be protected from any kind of usage. So even if somebody was going to use it to sit there and read by it, but that action would take it away from its status as a Ner Hanukkah. So that's a unique concern that maybe is different from other things. But just on this final point, this point about the Cotton's action being considered a Maisa, so just this is a point he brought up yesterday also, that could be why it's theoretically possible that maybe a Cotton Shigia Lechinuch can light Hanukkah candles on behalf of the household, because It's a household responsibility, but the household responsibility requires a ner mitzvah, but maybe a kat shegi l'chinuch is enough to provide a ner mitzvah because the action still has a mitzvah status even if he doesn't have the full chiv. Okay, so again, the agenda for tomorrow, I think maybe we'll talk about shirim, that's, but they may add a few words about chinuch, but God willing, we'll give you some extra marmer kumos about new topic. All right, everyone should have a wonderful day. Should be only good things. And we'll see you soon.